Well, praise God. We're winding down the retreat. We had a wonderful retreat. The most common word I heard used to describe it was awesome. People are already making their reservations for the next time we do it. We don't know if we're going to do this in 6 months, 8 months, or in a year, but certainly no longer than a year, we're going to do this again. Okay? So we need to talk to the congregation staff and see how often we want to do this. It's a lot of work, but I tell you, the results are just truly awesome. Okay? So now we want to talk about what do you do living a cleansed life after the retreat. You don't want to be like the person that Sarah talked about who lost 200 pounds, but it was really 10 pounds 20 times. Okay? We don't want to do that. So we don't want to cast out 500 demons, but it's the same 5 demons 100 times. We don't want to let them in. Ministry today in terms of demons are very different. It's very a different ministry today from when Jesus operated. When Jesus operated on earth, he operated only under Genesis 1:26 and 1:28. His authority and dominion came from Genesis 1:26 and 1:28. God said, man, Jesus called himself Son of Man 85 times. He only called himself Son of God 5 times. 85 times, he called himself Son of Man because he was operating as a man based on Genesis 1:26 and 1:28. So we have the authority and dominion of Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 1:28. But we also have the authority in the heavens, which Adam never did. And we also have authority in the name of Jesus in 3 worlds. In the heavens, on earth, and under the earth. So we have the name of Jesus, and we should use the name of Jesus. Because all this process, from Adam fell until Jesus returned, is a process of cleansing the earth. A good example of cleansing the earth was Noah with his ark saved 8 souls. Another great example of cleansing the earth was all the Hebrew slaves who came out of Egypt, who complained to God that God brought them out here to die in the wilderness. They had what they said. They said, God has brought us out here to die in the wilderness. And after they said it 10 times, and God created the earth speaking 10 times. So after they spoke it 10 times, they created their own destiny and they all died in the wilderness. Of the ones that came out of Egypt, only 2 entered into the promised land. The all others were all what's the word I want to use? They were filtered out. They were all filtered out. They failed to make the grade to get cleansed and go to the next level. Their descendants went into the promised land. But the original one did not make it. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He wants a church to be here that decides we want to do things his way. And part of his way is cleanse yourself. It says, flee sins and in my name cast out demons. When Jesus operated on earth, he cast demons out of unbelievers. No, that's not the right word. He cast demons out of unbelievers and believers, but the believers were not born again believers. Nobody was born again because Jesus had not yet died and been resurrected. Nobody was born again. So he cast the demons out. For the first time, demons were being cast out of them. It was pretty easy. Casting demons out of a person the first time is really quite easy, especially an unbeliever, when God tells you to do it. But for a believer who then lets the believers back, let the demons back in, and Jesus said they'd come back with 7 worse. We call them the worses. So you cast out one demon, he comes back with 7 bigger buddies. You cast out the 8 demons, he comes back, each one comes back with 7 more. So you don't want to cast demons out of people until they know how they got in, why they're in, and how to keep them out. So that's why we only allow into cleansing. The rule of thumb is everything is always subject to pastor's exception. Okay? But the rule is you don't get into cleansing at ABC until you've gone through, at the very least, healing school 1, 2, and 3. What we really prefer is Bible College, Healing School 1, 2, and 3. And we'd really like to see you do Squidward at Dominion 1, 2, and 3 also. Because Dominion is over demons, devils, and evil spirits, and everything else. Right? So if you haven't yet completed all those, please do it. Because I really want to see you alive and remaining when Jesus returns. I want to see you walking, overcoming every lie of the enemy, every challenge, with no sickness, disease, infirmity, with no need for doctors or medicines or drugs, with no worry about where your food is coming from or your money. Because you're a son of God and you're an adult in the family of God and a daughter, adult daughter of God, and you're acting and living like it. That's what I want to see. So having gone through cleansing, and we had a wonderful cleansing, now we're going to see, what do you do after cleansing? And the main thing is you want to live a cleansed life. Now, this is a lifestyle. It's a holy lifestyle. And a holy lifestyle is crucial for preventing the demons from coming back. What is a holy lifestyle? The same thing you've been doing when you went through Healing School 1, 2, and 3. You learn to confess your sins. You learn what sins are. You learn to confess your sins frequently. You learn the difference between known sins and unknown sins. You learn the four components of sins. So when you sin, it's not just that you're affecting your fellowship with God. You're also opening the door to demons to make you sick and to cause accidents and kill you and all the terrible things that demons do. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it better than you have ever imagined it. That's John 10:10 in the Message Bible. I've come that you might have life better than you have ever imagined it. But the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If your life is not better than you've imagined it, then you're allowing the devil to steal, kill, and destroy. See, the Bible is very simple. It's a binary thing. It's like a computer. It's 0 or 1. It's God's way or it's the devil's way. And every choice we make is we choose to allow God and his angels to help us, or we choose to allow the devils and demons to attack us. It's very simple. You choose to continue in the word, or you choose not to. Scripture says, if you take one step towards God, he draws closer to you. So no matter where you are, if you're just starting ABC, if you have a visitor today, or if you've been here for 18 years, as Pastor Matthew has been, it makes a difference. We all need to do the same thing. Take the next step towards God. Now, the step is different for every person. The step depends on where you are at. So I still have to take a step towards God on an ongoing basis. If I don't take a step towards God, I'm trying to stand still. And you can't stand still as a Christian. It's either going forward or backsliding. That's the choice. It's all binary, 0 or 1. It's God or the devil. It's angels or demons. It's blessing or curses. It's life or death. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. It's all binary. So you leave here and your choice is, am I going to keep taking a step towards God, or am I going to try to coast, which means you're going to stand still, which means you're going to backslide. You must take steps towards God. Now, you don't have to do everything we teach. There is no way anybody here, probably including myself, can have absorbed everything we've taught here. If there's any person here who maybe has absorbed it, it's me. And let me tell you, when I get up here and teach and the Holy Spirit teaches things, I think, wow, where did I come from? Okay? You know, don't ask me to repeat what I taught because I can't do it. I couldn't do it the first time. And surely I can't do it the second time. So we're all taking that one step towards God. So the one step when you leave is make a commitment in your heart. I am going to live a cleansed life, which means a holy life, which means I'm going to watch your sins. The number one thing you can do for your health is confess your sins frequently. You might say, well, I don't sin, or I don't know my sins. Wonderful. You say, Lord, I don't know any sins since the last time that I confessed. Please cleanse me of the ones I don't know about. That prayer is what I do all day long. I'm not really aware of that many sins. And as soon as I sin them and I know it, I confess it. You know, if I yell at somebody or I'm harsh with somebody, not meaning to be, I mean, I may be trying to save the person's life. And it says, you dummy, don't you know that's stupid? That's not exactly godly. Right? So as soon as I calm down, I say, you're not really a dummy. You're half a dummy. And then I confess my sins. Then I confess my sins, right? Whenever you know your sins, confess it. Don't be like Pharaoh. My word. Moses says to Pharaoh, okay, dude, you're tired of the frogs. You want to get rid of the frogs? Yeah. Yeah, Moses, get rid of the frogs. So Moses says, okay, Pharaoh, old boy, when should I get rid of the frogs? And Pharaoh says, oh, do it tomorrow. Give me one more night with them frogs. Why in the world would you say tomorrow? Why wouldn't you say right now? Right? Well, you don't want one more night with them sins, because them sins are opening up the door for them demons. As soon as you sin a note, I don't care how bad your sin are, it's not as bad as we see in the scriptures. Look at David. David had the man's, had the woman's husband killed. Right? He had Bathsheba's, Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. So you could have Bathsheba. Hey, I don't think there's anybody here who's ever done that. But it doesn't make any difference. If you have, it's been forgiven. Not for Bathsheba, I mean. Bathsheba's a bit old by now. She's a bit long in the tooth, as they say, right? So it would not be Bathsheba's husband, okay? Okay. So my point is, as soon as you calm down from sinning, confess it. And the rest of the time, either you don't know you're sinning or you're not sinning. Say, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. Listen, I started, this is absolutely 100% true. When God miraculously saved me and touched me with the most miraculous move I felt in my life, because of the prayers of my family and friends, not because of me. I had no interest in being in that church. I was watching the clock because they said the service ends at 12. And I said, okay, at 12, I'm out of here. And there was 15 minutes to go. And the pastor gave this altar call. Say, if you want to know truth, raise your hand and I pray for you. And I'm way at the back upstairs, you know, like 2,000-3,000 people. Nobody can see me. Truth, I'm a scientist. Which scientist wouldn't want to know truth? I've always liked truth. I love philosophy. So I raised my hand. How can it hurt? And God zapped me. I mean, power went through me like you cannot believe. It's like I pushed my hand into a high power electrical socket and all the power flowed through me. Powerful, but not painful. And it washed me clean. Unless you've gone through it, you don't know what clean means. I was washed clean. And God showed me a video making a covenant with him. I had made covenants with the devil and I'd made covenants with God, not realizing either one was a covenant, just as most of you have done. I made a covenant with the devil when I was a kid. I said, if I become popular in high school, I would do anything to be popular in high school. Anytime you say you do anything, that's a covenant with the devil. Okay? Anytime you make an extreme statement like that, I would never do that. Well, you would if God asked you. So don't say that. God, save him, whatever the cost. It's a covenant with the devil. So I made a covenant. If you have done that, cancel those words. Make them null and void. In fact, let me lead you in a prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to confess your sins. And you can say, and every other sin that I don't know about. In Jesus' name. Okay, let's pick up. Heavenly Father, I'm not aware of any sins. Since the last time I confessed, 15 seconds ago. So Lord, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Now in the name of Jesus, I repent of every ungodly word I've spoken in my life.
I repent of every ungodly word I've spoken in my life.
Including words of extremes. Whereby I might have unknowingly
made
a contract with the devil.
Such as I would do anything for that job.
I would do anything to date that person. I'd do anything for a new car.
Words of extremism,
which are a contract with the devil.
In Jesus' name, I repent of all of them.
I cancel them.
And I make them null and void.
In Jesus' name.
Satan, your legal right
to affect me
based on those covenants
have been canceled.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I agree with each of you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? No, I was saying, I made a covenant with God, not knowing it was a covenant. It was very simple.
Lord, you reveal yourself to me.
I said I'd do anything you told me to do.
First thing I'm going to commit to do is reading the Bible one line per day.
Not a verse. I was wise enough to know that some verses take more than one line.
Really?
I said one line, not one verse.
That's the only
step I took towards them.
One step towards them.
And that step led to another step, and today I'm standing up here preaching.
When you leave this retreat, you must take a step towards God.
I'm not saying it has to be every day, but keep taking
steps towards them.
And the most important thing you can do for your lifestyle is confess your sins frequently.
Frequently, for people, most of the people here, should be like once an hour.
Once an hour, you take 15 seconds and say, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. Please cleanse me of the ones I don't know about.
You're not asking God for forgiveness.
You're saying, Lord, I don't know any place where I have disobeyed your word, is what you're saying.
That's what confess means.
When you say, I confess this is a sin, that means I did this and that contradicts your word.
Your sins have all been paid for and washed away.
God is not asking you to ask for forgiveness.
That's like asking God to save you.
You're already saved.
You're saved. You don't have to ask God to save you.
You're forgiven. You don't have to ask God to forgive you.
What you got to say, Lord, is I did this.
It contradicts your word.
Okay? I'm sorry. Help me not to do it again.
Cleanse me from all sins.
That's the number one thing any person can do for their life and for their health.
The number two is be a loving, forgiving person.
Be a loving, forgiving person.
You want to watch out for temptations, and as soon as they come, you want to confess them, repent, forgive if appropriate, renounce and break, cast out the demons and evil spirit behind the temptations immediately.
All temptations, but especially the ones from which you've just been delivered.
You must always be vigilant, watching for temptation.
They're going to come, and he's going to try to tempt you as soon as, even before the retreat is over, he's going to try to tempt you.
In fact, somebody told me yesterday about how they just got this wonderful cleansing, walked out into the kitchen, and had a wonderful opportunity to be offended.
But he said, you know what? The spirit of offense had been cast out. I did not get offended.
That's the attitude, and that's the behavior we need.
Amen?
The temptations will come.
If you're going to fast, and the first thing somebody says, you want to go to lunch, I'm buying.
Yeah.
Confess everyone's sins immediately, okay?
And much of this you can read on your own.
But once you're focused on cleansing yourself and taking that one step towards God wherever you are,
if you don't read the Bible every day, hey, copy me.
And say, Lord, I commit to reading one line of the Bible every day.
If you want to be bolder than me, commit to reading a whole verse every day.
Okay?
But don't commit to doing something that you can't do.
Don't say, I'm going to read a whole book a day if you don't have the time to do it.
Don't break covenants with God.
Then cleanse your sphere of influence.
What's your sphere of influence?
Any place where you can exert your authority and dominion.
Over your home, over your habits, your friends and acquaintances, you can choose them.
You can choose to spend time with them or not.
You want to live in the kingdom of God, and you want to be a loving, forgiving person.
Your home.
You want to go home, if you've never done this, maybe even if you have, do a three witness in your home.
All the windows, all the doors, and all the walls.
If you got time, tree witness some of the major items in your house. If you can't do it, then anoint each element one by one. Let rivers of living water flow to you and wash every single item in your house and wash out every curse associated with and every evil thing and every demon, devil, and evil spirit. Cast them all out of your house and then keep your house in the kingdom of God. You all know how to establish the kingdom of God, how to bring God's presence into your house. Do it. Play worship music all the time if you want to. Good habit. So, tree witness your house. Here's a wonderful thing. Get the communion wine. Okay? Receive communion with it and take the rest of it, a big bottle, you know. And walk around your property line and pour the blood of Jesus, the communion wine, all the way around it. And say, this is the line of the blood of Jesus Christ. And nothing evil can cross over it. You can say no demons, no devil or evil spirit. You can say no evil. You can say all that. You can say no evil from the kingdom of man, of the kingdom of darkness, of the kingdom of animals, or the kingdom of nature can come to my house. Why would you want any kind of evil coming in your house? Jesus says you have the authority to bind and loose. In Jesus' name, here's a bloodline. You can't cross it. In Jesus' name, you're bound from crossing this bloodline into my home. We pray spiritually around our neighborhood that no evil, no criminal can come in. And the police were chasing this guy down the street. He killed on the street and came into this street in our neighborhood. As he pulled into the neighborhood, the police coming behind him, the first thing he did, he stopped the car. As soon as he got into the neighborhood, he stopped the car, jumped out, and started running. Who in the right mind would run away from a police car, when you got a car? He couldn't do it. They caught him immediately. He went, actually ran into a brick wall. Okay? I know one friend of mine who was ministering to a man, said, come back to my office, and we continue. Took him back, not to his home, took him back to the home. I guess he had a parsonage in the church, so it's the same thing. Home, parsonage, church. Took him back to it, and the guy walked up to it, and I can't go any further. What do you mean you can't go any further? I can't go any further. And then my friend remembered, he had done the bloodline around it, and the man could not cross the bloodline. He was so demonized, he couldn't cross it. I can tell you stories after stories. Don't wait for the stories, just do it.
Yeah. Create your own stories.
Yeah, create your own stories, yeah. Friends and acquaintances, evaluate them. Okay? Iron sharpens iron. Deep calls into deep. Water and dirt don't give you clean dirt. Right? No, you're the water, and some of your friends are dirty. Don't mix them together. It's more likely you're going to get muddy than you're going to get clean. Unless God is sending you to minister them. But don't think, oh, I'm going to go down and go watch a movie. Yeah, I know it's a R movie or an X movie, but I'm trying to get close to these guys to minister the gospel. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Dangerous stuff. Live in the kingdom of God all the time. And you know how to do that. I won't go over that. And be a loving, forgiving person. You know you're in the kingdom of God when you're walking in joy, peace, and patience. That's your three thermostats. If you start to lose your joy, peace, and patience, you're coming out of the kingdom of God. You're coming out of the anointing. You're removing yourself from the presence of God. So if you start losing your joy, peace, and patience, and you don't know why, first thing you do is forgive the people you were with. You may not know what they've done to affect you, but at least you can say, in Jesus' name, I forgive them for causing me to lose my joy, peace, and patience. Now, if the guy insulted you, it's very clear what he did. But sometimes you don't know what happened. You just know, I'm walking away and I don't feel as good as I was before. You forgive them and you confess your sins and get back into that joy, peace, and patience. This is a lot, in terms of financial money, it's a lot cheaper than going to a doctor. It's a lot less time than waiting in a waiting room. And instead of going to a doctor who's still practicing, why don't you go to Jesus who is perfect? And he's your perfect healer. All these doctors are still practicing, right? Okay. So, cleanse your home. And everything you buy and bring to your home, pray over it. If you have time, wash it with rivers of living water. It doesn't take long. It takes about a minute if you do a shortened version. In Jesus' name, I wash this, the groceries I bought today, with rivers of living water flowing into me. I cover them with the blood of Jesus and anoint them with the oil of the Holy Spirit. All evil washed away. That's 30 seconds for a shortened version. You don't have to take out the whole long page and pray it over every carrot, you know. So you got me, right? Wash everything that comes in your house. Today, for example, most people who know about this, all the clothes they buy, the first thing they do with it is they put them in a dryer or wash them, put them in a dryer. Because clothes are coming from overseas and they're full of, what do you call it?
Bed bugs.
And this bed bug epidemic?
Epidemic.
Pandemic or epidemic across the country, even some of the most fanciest hotels have bed bugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you buy clothes, wash them, the heat kills them. Heat kills the bed bugs. So if people are doing this for bed bugs, how much more to do it for demon bugs? Okay? Let's get the demons out. Let's get all the bugs out, okay? This is serious stuff, okay? I mean, I'm making light of it because a little bit of something sweet makes the medicine go down, okay? But this is absolute important stuff. We're casting demons out of a man here one time, right in this room. And this man is a big, strong man, and getting prepared. The man had 110 pages of curses. 110 pages of curses. Okay? And we got through all the preparation, and he's ministering in a chair, and he got so active. Demons were acting up so much. We could have stopped them, but when they're active, it means they're pretty close to coming out. So we didn't stop him physically. We kind of restrained him. Eventually, we had him lying on the floor, on his belly, because he's a strong man. And we had one man on the left leg, one on the right leg, one on each arm, and one person with the head and minister. Like five men, could be six, ministering to him. And I heard this conversation. The man is on his belly, and his foot is back up in the air like that. That's hard to do, right? I mean, even without somebody holding on to your leg, it's hard to do that. Lying on your belly, feet back up there. Both guys are up in the air. The man pushes the leg back up there. Both guys are in the air. The guy on the left says, I don't believe this. I'm a football player. I'm up in here in the air trying to hold on one leg. The other guy says, I'm a weightlifter. I'm up here with you. Absolute truth. I'm not exaggerating a least bit. Okay? So after a while, we get some demons and everybody's tired. So we're taking a break. He's tired. We're tired. And he's there. And his head is going like this. And his tongue is going this way, right? I can't even do it with my hand. Head going this way, tongue going this way, right? And then he stops and looks and says, whose God is that? We are so tired, we ignored him. After a while, he said, whose God is that? So we looked, we didn't see anything, so we ignored him. Third time, he says, whose God is that? So we looked. He's staring at a shopping bag you get from a supermarket. In fact, it was Trader Joe's. And outside of the Trader Joe's shopping bag were tiki. Tiki gods from Hawaii. Tiki gods. Man, that bag got out of here so fast you wouldn't believe it. You want tiki gods in your house? Let me tell you. This is serious stuff. You remember, everywhere that they went in the old covenant, the beginning, everywhere they went, they set up an altar. An altar here, an altar there, an altar there. God was reestablishing his right all over the earth. Today, that's what demons do. Everywhere they go, they want an altar. They want a magnet. They want something that authorizes them and gives them permission to be there. And your grocery bags can do it. Anything that's ungodly can do it. If your house is full of pornographic magazine, oh my Lord, get rid of them for your life. There is no sin that's worth dying for. Jesus died so you can be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Jesus died so you can be healthy. Get rid of every sin, because that's what you do after cleansing. You quit sinning. And you get rid of everything that will bring the demons that want to support the bad habits you have. We've all had bad habits. We still have bad habits. But that doesn't mean we have to keep them. More and more, we're getting rid of them. So put God first place in your life. Consecrate your position.
That's what we're talking about. Consecrate your life, your goals, your relationships, your possessions. Nothing should get between you and God. You know, if you got a friend and you want to spend time with him, you know, like say once a month you go bowling, but you can only bowl the same time you have church services, get a new friend. Get a new friend. Same thing with shrewd family. You can't get a new family. But God said, Jesus said, if you love your mother and father and your siblings more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. So if they're keeping you from church, keeping you from studying your Bible, if they're causing you to sin, realize Jesus is your everything. He's your all in all. That is your first choice. Flee sins. And in every situation, the question, if you're not sure, is what would Jesus do? That makes it really simple. Now, to help minimize challenges in the future, we have what we call strategic affirmations. They help keep you on that straight and narrow path. You may not understand them now, but you can still do them. Romans 6:11. In the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus my Lord. That will move you into a place where you'll have less temptation and less evil in your life and fewer problems. Okay? Reckon means to count yourself. In the name of Jesus, I reckon, count myself dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus my Lord. It will change your life. That one affirmation will change your life. 1 Corinthians 2:16. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. That will change your life. I wish I had time to tell you testimonies about them. I have an abundance of major testimonies about people's brain and mind and IQ and passing tests and getting rid of sickness and diseases and cancers and all kinds of things. I have the mind of Christ. Do not let anything in your mind that does not belong in the mind of Christ. That should be your goal. It will take you a while to get there, but in the meantime, you keep saying, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Especially for students. Psalm 19:14. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to him. Those three are powerful, will change your life, and will allow God to lead you not into temptation, but to deliver you from all evil. Okay? They're strategic. So this weekend began a process that's intended to lead to a more victorious life. It's a process of cleansing and sanctification by the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual foundation is a consecrated and committed lifestyle. The lifestyle should reflect the following elements. All these elements in here, on page 2, you should all know already. So you can read them on your own. If you don't know them, people who have been only here a few times, you might want to look at them really, really carefully, okay? They're not on there because we had nothing else to do. Everyone is life-saving. I can tell you multiple miracles about each one. And then finally, the daily foundational prayers. This last one is more there for reference and review for the newer believers. You can read that on your own. But these items on a part B3, those items are a major part of your faith action plan, a major part of your spiritual warfare. So, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your time and your attention. Amen? Amen. Okay, we're going to do an exercise right now. The exercise is primarily for the people who went through cleansing, but it's a good exercise for anybody. It's only going to take a few minutes. So, Sarah, could you hand everybody a card? I would like you to write like 3 or 4 items on there. Okay? I mean, if you really stretch it and you really want, you could do 5. But I'm thinking more like 3 would be perfect. Maybe 4. Even 5. You want to think of, you came to this retreat, or you come to this service this morning, and you want to draw closer to God. You want to take a step closer to God. You don't want to go back to where you were before you came here. And I don't care how powerful a believer you were before you came here. It's true for everybody. Okay? It's true for everybody. We don't want to go back to where we were. This has been a life-changing weekend. We don't want to go back. So in the change in you, there are things that you're going to give up, things you're going to change, things you're going to consecrate. I want you to write at least three items that you're going to consecrate. I've come here today, and I'm writing down now, I'm going to go back home with a new lifestyle, and I want to give up three things I don't want to go back to. Let's say, for example, you're here, and demons of pornography were cast out of you, for example. Because like 80% of Christian men, I have been told, use pornography. Let's say just an example. Go home and take all your pornographic stuff and throw it away and never buy another one. I mean, don't buy it, like Pastor Matthew was saying, don't buy it if you plan on never using it. That's making preparation to fail. Don't make preparation to fail. So one was, I'm going to consecrate all pornography. That could be one. Could be, I'm going to consecrate the food I eat. Never again. Well, let me show you what I did in consecrating food. Most people have, for dinner, they have a dinner plate. You all know what I'm saying when I say dinner plate? It's a plate about here big. Well, it's a big dinner. No, we used to use dinner plate and we decided we're going to stop. We never use dinner plates anymore. We use the small salad plates. Our entire meal is supposed to be served on a salad plate. But I noticed as the years drift by, other plates are showing up around the big one. So the salad plate is still small, but I see one here's for bread, and one here's for dessert, and one here's for that, right? So I'm going to start, for me, I'm going to start to shrink it back down to one plate. That's what I did. Some of you might say, well, you know, I really like too much chocolate. Not anybody here, I'm sure. Maybe I'll limit myself to chocolate once a month. Okay? So we're going to consecrate this, right? We're going to consecrate means we're going to make sure it doesn't get between us and God. If too much chocolate is an extreme and you don't want that to get between your God, you consecrate it. I'm going to consecrate it. Here are three things, or four or five, that I'm determined never will get between me and God again. Desserts. I'm not saying you can't have desserts. Maybe God is saying it, but I'm not saying it. I'm saying, maybe you have a nice healthy meal and then 15 minutes later you pig out on desserts. It's been known to happen. Maybe it's, I will never again raise my voice to my wife. That might be one. Maybe I should put my name on the list of that. What do you think, sweetie? She's not going to say a word. My wife is so, she is so diplomatic, right? Are you getting the idea? Okay. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit. Don't do it from yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what three things? Guide me to put three, four, or five things on the list. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. So you normally consecrate your goals, your plans, your relationships, or your possessions. Possessions include food or drink. This is not a trivial exercise, okay? Because you're really making a covenant with God. If you do it correctly. So you all look at me when you're done. Okay. Okay, have we all completed the assignment, teacher? Okie dokie. That's for my mother. Okie dokie. Okay. I'm going to ask you to take that home with you and treat it as one of your treasured possessions. You know, if you had the Ten Commandments, somebody gave you the Ten Commandments of God. I mean, the actual Ten Commandments written on tablets, it would be priceless. Because God wrote it. Well, I want you to look at this piece of paper as God wrote it using you as a vessel. It's a covenant with God. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I believe the Holy Spirit led me in writing down these items to be consecrated. I desire to draw closer to you, my Father, By being conformed.
To the image of Jesus Christ.
He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my deliverer. He's my cleanser. He is my model.
I'm a Christian.
I'm a follower of Christ.
And so,
I've written down these items on this piece of paper.
Help me to treat this
as a formal covenant with God.
Help me to show the respect
that is due
God's writing.
And I ask you, Holy Spirit,
day by day,
hour by hour,
second by second,
help me
to complete these items.
Lord, I cannot do it of myself.
Your word says I can't do it.
I can only do it
through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Lord, it's your responsibility.
Based in Galatians 3,
verses 1 through 3.
But it's my responsibility
to partner with you
to do what I can.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to close by leading you in a prayer.
Oh, yes, and I guess I should do the announcements first, right?
No, let me do the prayer first and then you do the announcements, okay?
As a step of unity, if you don't mind, would you lift your hands up like this? So we're all lifting up our hands up saying, Lord, we surrender to you. All we have, we give you, Lord. Let me pray for us first. All we have, we give you, Lord, and we just pray. We just pray, Lord, that you lead us and guide us to living holy, consecrated lives before you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Okay, now if you repeat after me.
Heavenly Father,
Abba Daddy,
Abba Daddy,
I love you
because you first loved me.
I thank you
for all you've done for me.
And Lord, I declare
that everything I need
has already been paid for.
I have the authority,
the legal right,
to use the name of Jesus.
And in that name,
I have authority and dominion
in three worlds.
Demons, devils, and evil spirit.
No matter where you are.
You're subject to me,
and you must do what I say,
when I use the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
all demons, devils, and evil spirit
that have been attacking me
in my home,
above or below my home,
in my car,
in my life,
I take away your legal right.
I am committed
to stop sinning.
And the Holy Spirit is going to help me.
I've turned my back in sin.
I've turned my back in sickness and disease and infirmity.
So I say to you,
all you demons, devils, and evil spirit,
I command you to leave me.
My body,
my home,
my work and job,
my car,
get out in Jesus' name.
And if you try to sneak back,
I'll be watching for you.
For I am an adult in the family of God.
I know my rights.
And I have the name of Jesus.
And every knee must bow.
To the name of Jesus.
Evil spirits,
you've seen what we can do to you.
Get out of our lives.
In Jesus' name.
Now, Heavenly Father,
I pray that the Spirit of God fall fresh upon me.
I pray that the Spirit of God
Right now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Right now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
The Spirit of counsel and might.
The Spirit of counsel and might.
The Spirit of knowledge.
The Spirit of knowledge.
And of the fear of the Lord.
And of the fear of the Lord.
Giving me.
Giving me.
A life-giving understanding.
A life-giving understanding.
In the fear of the Lord.
In the fear of the Lord.
Bringing back to my recall.
Bringing back to my recall.
To my memory.
To my memory.
Everything I need for life and godliness.
Everything I need for life and godliness.
Short term.
Short term.
Medium term.
Medium term.
Long term.
Long term.
For in the name of Jesus.
For in the name of Jesus.
I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
And right now.
And right now.
From the Spirit of God up in me.
In the name of Jesus,
rivers of warm oil, of peace and healing,
flood my brain,
flood my head, inside and outside.
In the name of
Jesus, rivers of warm oil,
of peace,
healing and power,
saturate my head and my brain,
flow down to my neck, and to my shoulders.
Down my arms,
to my hands and fingers.
In Jesus' name,
rivers of warm oil,
of peace and healing and power,
from the Spirit of the Living God,
flow from my neck,
flooding my vocal cords,
settling them free,
flowing down to my upper body, filling all the empty spaces in my upper body.
Saturating
my heart,
my lungs,
every cell,
every organ,
every system in my upper body.
In
Jesus' name,
rivers of warm oil,
of peace and healing,
flow down to my lower body,
filling all the empty spaces in my lower body,
filling up my GI system.
All the empty spaces.
Healing and restoring.
Every cell, organ, and system in my body.
In Jesus' name.
Rivers of warm oil.
Of peace and healing.
Flow down to my upper legs.
Flooding my pelvic area.
Flowing down my legs.
To my knees.
Down to my ankles.
My feet and my toes.
My feet and my toes.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Whose I am.
Whose I am.
And whom I serve.
And whom I serve.
I'm saturated.
From the top of my head.
To the soles of my feet.
With rivers of warm oil.
Of peace.
And healing.
And power.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And I agree with each of you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Sarah.